Radio that's actually made in Cambridge.
We are community radio in your city, Cambridge 105.
Good afternoon, we are Cambridge 105, community radio in your city. That was Bill Withers there, and lovely day. My thanks go to Chris and Roger for the past 30 minutes with The Science Show. Welcome along to Summer Saturday with myself, Matt Webb. This is the programme that puts the spotlight on some of the events that make up the summer in the city calendar. And we've got an action-packed show today. Got some wonderful things coming up. Rob Chipperfield will be reporting from the Amy Sespa Open Day. That's on the A10 at Waterbeach. We'll be crossing over to him at around about 3:15 for his first report. Neil Whiteside's been out and about at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day, and we'll be hearing from Neil from around about 4:00 this afternoon. Robbie Griffiths is at the Hemingford Road Street Party, soaking up the sun. It's wonderful out there today, isn't it? And then from 4:00, we'll be joined on the phone by Pete Robbins. He's going to be reporting back from the Ely Folk Festival. And if that's not all, Dominic Smith is out and about at the Milton Summer Fair at the moment as well, and we'll be hearing from him in the next 2 hours as well. But if you've got an event happening and you'd like Cambridge 105 to promote it over the next 2 hours, do get in touch. All you need to do is drop me an email, matt@cambridge105.fm. You can text me 07919 070490. You can send me a tweet at Cambridge105 on Twitter or over on the Facebook wall, facebook.com/Cambridge105. As I say, it is just edging up to 3:15, and I can now say that we can cross over to Rob Chipperfield, and he is at the Amy Sespa Open Day just off the A10 at Waterbeach. Good afternoon, Rob.
Well, thanks very much, Matt, and a very good afternoon to you from a lovely, warm Amy Sespa Open Day out here just near Waterbeach. And I'm joined here by Mark. Mark, you're one of the members of staff here at Amy Sespa, aren't you?
Yes, and this is our 8th Open Day.
Your 8th. Now, I have to say, this is the first one that I've been down to, certainly. But we're out here, if I just picture the scene for a moment, we're out here in one of the fields next to the Waste Management Park, just north of Cambridge. So what actually goes on here normally of a weekday, Mark?
Well, during the week, we take all the waste from Cambridge here. So all the blue bin waste, the dry mix recyclables, which get separated in our recycling plant, which is on view today. The green bin waste, which goes for composting in our in-vessel composting unit, which again is on view today. And the black bin waste gets treated and sent to landfill. And again, there are trips to the landfill today, amongst other things.
That sounds very interesting. So you've got a whole load of exhibitors, so I think this is some of your community partners, some charities and so on.
That's right. I mean, we work with all the different councils in Cambridge here, so each council's displaying about their recycling schemes, but we also work with a number of community groups. So there's Emmaus that has a very big reuse centre just down the road, OWL, a charity based in Sawston that refurbishes old bikes and works with adults with learning difficulties, organisations like that, plus also all the companies that we send our materials to for recycling. So, for example, if people want to know where the paper goes that they separate or where the metal cans go that they separate, we have those businesses here that take the materials and recycle it back into new products.
Now, obviously, Cambridgeshire is, I think, actually one of the top areas in the UK for recycling. And how much of our waste does actually get recycled?
Well, the recycling rate across the whole of Cambridgeshire is about 54%. So more waste is recycled than is actually thrown away at the moment. We're about the second best in the UK. But obviously, the UK isn't as good as some other countries at recycling. So there's obviously a lot more that people can still do. And that's part of the idea of today is to show people that what they do is really appreciated and that the materials they separate for recycling really do go to recycling and do benefit the environment, but also give people ideas of what else they can do to push up our recycling rate so we reach the levels of places like Denmark and Sweden and other Scandinavian countries.
So obviously, people can make sure they put their rubbish in the right bins, put the paper and card in the blue bins and the organic waste in the green bins. And is there anything else they can do beyond just making sure things go in the right containers, or what else can they do?
Well, part of today is to actually show people what happens if they do put the wrong material in, because we do get some contamination of the material for recycling, and that can upset the process. But as well as recycling, part of today is to show the whole reuse side of things. So a lot of the charities, the community groups that are here, actually take materials for repair and reuse. So that's in addition to the recycling. So I say OWL, for example, will take old cycles and repair them. And at the same time, they're training adults with learning difficulties. Emmaus take a whole range of material for reuse and resale. And that raises money for their work with the homeless. There's another organisation, Cambridge Woodworks, that take old wood Bird, and they make a whole range of products like bird boxes and planters and stuff like that, as well as making firewood, bricks and things like that. So it's not just about recycling, it's about reuse as well, and some ideas as well as how to reduce waste.
That sounds good. So if people want to come down and see a little bit more, what time do they have until... It's just today, isn't it? What time do you close this afternoon?
It's today until 4 o'clock. So as long as you're here before four, but we've got coach tours around the whole site so you can see the materials recycling facility, the composting facility. There's a whole range of our plant on display. So we've got diggers, dumper trucks, refuse trucks, and the kids love climbing in the trucks and pretending to drive them. We've got displays from a whole range of different organisations. And there's an ice cream van to keep us cool as well.
Definitely needed in this weather, Mark. Okay, so people can just come down. Free entry, plenty of parking, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, there's loads of parking. It's free. 4 o'clock's the deadline. If you turn up at four, I'm afraid it'll be too late. You need to turn up by about three because the coach tours take about 3/4 of an hour if you want to go on a coach tour.
So if you leave home now, you might just manage to get there. Mark, thank you very much. Have a fantastic day. And thank you to you and all of the team for putting on this event.
Thank you. That's grand.
And back to you in the studio, Matt.
Thank you very much, Rob. That was Rob Chipperfield reporting live from the Amy Sesper Open Day, just off the A10 at Waterbeach, speaking to Mark, one of the event organisers. We'll be crossing back over to Rob in the next 10 minutes to find out more about what's going on at the Amy Sesper Open Day. And also coming up in the next 10 minutes at around about 25 past three, we'll be crossing over to none other than Robbie Griffiths. He is at the Hemingford Road Street Party for us this afternoon. Joining me on the line, live from the Hemingford Road Street Party, it's Cambridge 105's Robbie Griffiths. Good afternoon, Robbie.
Hi, Matt.
Enjoying the sunshine and the sunny weather at the moment down at the Hemingford Road Street Party?
It's a glorious sunny day, and the Hemingford Street Party has just begun at 3 o'clock. There was an opening parade by a steel band from the Mill Road community, and they thought, just as I was walking down as Summer Saturday began, they played percussive music and walked up to the stage, and this evening, between St. Philip's Road and the Romsey Recreational Ground on Hemingford Road, there's predicted to be nearly 1,000 people coming down for this street party, which is culminating with music in the evening.
Wonderful stuff. Yes. And quite a few people there at the moment. I know you said there's going to be about 1,000 people a little bit later on. The crowd's beginning to build now?
It's just beginning, yeah. There's probably about 100 to 100 people here now at the moment, but I've been promised that those numbers will grow as the evening goes on.
Wonderful stuff. And lots of stalls down there at the moment? Lots of people got their stalls out selling bits and pieces?
Bunting adorns the street lights. There's colourful sheets over every car that was silly enough not to move before last Friday night, and there's a racetrack been chalked out onto the street where later this evening there will be fun races such as the Egg and Spoon race and the slow biking race, three-legged race, wheelie bin race, and lots of stalls. Yeah, there's going to be a barbecue later and various games. You should come down and have a look.
Brilliant stuff. Can we get you to have a go at the Egg and Spoon race a little bit later on? That'd be quite amusing. I know you wouldn't be able to see it, but we'd certainly be able to hear it on the radio. That'd be quite interesting.
I could tell you anything I want. I'm winning.
You're willing and happy to do that. That should be quite interesting. We'll see if we can do that. If we can't, never mind. Yeah. Are the event organisers pleased at the turnout so far? The weather's holding out.
It's very early days, yeah. Everyone seems really happy. It's kind of like it's heating up at the moment. Tickets cost about £5. Later this evening, there's a stage with hay bale seats set out on what's called Romsey Road. And later this evening, there'll be a gypsy jazz band called Django's Tiger. I assume they're local. And Four Doors Down, who are a local covers band, are playing between 7 and 9 o'clock. That's the evening.
That's all right. Yeah, an interesting evening then. And for people who aren't familiar with where Hemingford Road is, it's just off Mill Road, isn't it?
Yeah, it's off Mill Road. Coming from town, it's over the railway bridge and down on the left. If you're coming, it comes off the end of Coleridge Road as that crosses Mill Road.
Okay, I think people can understand where that is now. I mean, Cambridge can be a bit of a rabbit warren when it comes to roads and trying to find where these street parties are. So thank you very much for the description there. And finally, it's very warm out there. I take it you'd recommend people go out and either bring a sun hat with them or alternatively put some suntan lotion on.
There's also some lovely tents set up where you can sit and drink your drink and eat your barbecue under the shade. So, yeah, all contingencies have been planned for down here.
Wonderful stuff. Very so well. You're going to go and grab yourself an ice cream or a nice drink or something like that?
Yeah, Yeah, I think I might get myself a PIMS after this match.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you much, Robbie. That was Robbie Griffiths, Cambridge 105's Robbie Griffiths, reporting from the Hemingford Road Street Party, just off Mill Road. So do go along there today. It sounds like there's going to be some fantastic things. And it looks like there's going to be a nice tent out as well, so you can go and relax and you don't necessarily have to be out in the sunshine all afternoon. Having a quick check on the cricket scores, if you're an England cricket fan, but you're basking in a bit of glory at the moment. Australia need 311 runs to win the first test. England were all out for 375 in the second innings, and currently Australia are 84 for one. So looking very, very good for a first Ashes test victory there at Trent Bridge this afternoon. I'll be keeping you up to date with all the scores from that Ashes test across the afternoon. But in the meantime, we can now cross back over to Rob Chipperfield. He is at the Amy Sesper Open Day just off the A10 at Waterbeach. Good afternoon, Rob.
Well, good afternoon again, Matt, and thanks very much. And it's still nice and bright and sunny, just clouding over a little bit here down at the Amy Sesper Open Day just north of Waterbeach here on the outskirts of Cambridge. And now I'm joined by Rosie. Rosie, you're with the Cambridge Science Centre. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And thanks very much for joining me here for a couple of minutes. So tell me a little bit about the Cambridge Science Centre. I know that I've spoken to one of your colleagues before, down at Makespace, I think. What is it you guys do?
So our purpose is to kind of encourage people to think that science is interesting and fun, because we know it is and some people have missed that. And we do that by, we've got hands-on exhibits, shows and workshops. We've got a site that's open to the public on Jesus Lane in central Cambridge now. We've been open since February. And we have brought some of our exhibits here to the Amy Sesper Open Day today for people to have a play with. Some of them that are sort of where we make links to recycling and how you separate different kinds of waste.
Okay, so just looking around me here, there's very, very, very cool experiments. Some of them definitely look like they've come out of the Science Museum or similar. Just to my right here, there's something that looks like a video camera on the end of a bit of garden hose. What's happening with that one, Rosie?
So this is actually one of our newest exhibits. It hasn't been on the floor in the centre yet. It's going out next week. It's a spectroscope, which is basically a thing for looking at spectra, what colours of light are in the light that we're looking at. So most people know that if you have white light from the sun, if you shine white light through a prism or a load of raindrops, you get a rainbow. So this is a device a bit like that, and it lets us look at different coloured plastics, is what we're looking at the moment, and see what colours of light are being absorbed or are being let through, and comparing that to what we can see with our eyes, so that we can see how different colours of plastic are... how we see the colours of different colours of plastic as different mixtures of different colours of light.
OK, so this presumably is to help you separate out waste. So if I've put all of the various plastic food cartons and so on into the blue bin, this is the sort of thing that would help them actually sort it out when it gets to the recycling centre.
Absolutely right, yes. Of course, all the plastics that we put into the blue bin are... many of them are clear to our eyes. They appear transparent. But but there are a lot of other colours of light that we can't see, and in the infrared, beyond the red end of the rainbow, there are lots of different... transmission and absorption and different colours of light are let through or not let through with different types of plastic. So where you've got the different numbers on the bottom of the plastics, plastic type recyclable 1, recyclable 3, those tell you what kind of plastic it is, and you can sort those kinds of plastic by shining a light through them and using a spectrometer a bit like this, but looking at the infrared light instead of the visible.
That sounds very interesting. So that means that rather than someone having to go through and look at all of those numbers by hand, they can basically just put it under one of these cameras and sort it out into all the different sorts.
Exactly so, yes, that's right.
Thanks very much, Rosie. OK, let's take a quick wander over here, and I'm joined now by Jane. Jane, you're from the Denny Abbey and Farmland Museum. Good afternoon.
Hello, that's right, I am. You can find it very close to where we are now, which is at Amy Sesper, just south of the roundabout and on the left.
OK, so I have to admit I'd not actually heard of the museum before this afternoon. Tell me a little bit about the history and what actually goes on the site.
The Denny Abbey part of it is a very old building in the care of English Heritage, which the Farmland Museum manages on its behalf. Started at the late 12th century, it had three different religious houses before becoming a farmhouse after the Reformation. Because of the way the buildings had developed... the main building that is there now actually had underneath the walls all sorts of remains of the various abbey buildings, and so has been restored to show the stages of the history. And it produces a very, very interesting study of that building, which is quite unique because, of course, most monasteries and religious buildings were destroyed. The Farmland Museum itself started in a farmer's garden in Haddenham about 45 years ago with a very small collection, which grew and grew. When they could no longer care for it, it was able to move, thanks to South Cambridgeshire District Council, County Council, Heritage Lottery Fund and various other bodies, to next door to the Abbey, and some redundant farm buildings were purchased, and a new visitor centre was built, and it now houses a collection of objects and articles related to agriculture and farming life in Cambridgeshire. Most of the things have come from fairly locally, farm machinery, farm tools, aspects of farm life. There's a model shop, for example, showing what a typical 1940s sort of shop in a village would have looked like.
OK, so if people want to head over and come and see you, obviously it's just off the A10. What are the opening hours?
They're open from the 31st of March or the 1st of April to the end of October. We're open on weekdays from midday till 5 and at weekends from 10:30 till 5. And it costs £5 for adults, £4 for concessions. There are family tickets. You can buy a season ticket. There are special events which cost £1 more, and that includes the next one of those is a medieval weekend for the August bank holiday.
That sounds very good. And is this something just for adults or their children's activities as well?
We have children. It's very much for the whole family. There are a lot of children's activities and it's quite nice, and people do come and stay for a surprisingly long time. Lots of activities for children, small play area. In the summer, we have children's activity days on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the school holidays, and we do that in half terms as well.
That sounds like a great way to fill some of the holidays. So people can come down any time, really. Is it tomorrow or next week?
Except this Monday, when it will be closed because the road off from the A10 up to the Abbey site is being resurfaced and there's no alternative route. So just the 15th it's going to be closed. Otherwise, it's open now until the end of the season.
OK, so not this Monday, but you can head down tomorrow or any time for the rest of the summer. Jane, thank you very much. And back to you in the studio, Matt.
Thank you very much, Rob. That was Rob Chipperfield there reporting live from the Amy Sesper Open Day just off the A10 at Waterbeach. That concludes at 4 o'clock today, and we'll cross back over to Rob in about 10 minutes' time, where we'll have one final recap of what's going on there at the Amy Sesper Open Day just off the A10 at Waterbeach. Now, we can't get out to every event. We'd absolutely love to go to every event in Cambridge on a Saturday, but there's so many at the moment, we actually can't get out to all of them. But I will tell you about the Flying Legends Air Show. Now, a worldwide following has ensured that the Flying Legends Air Show is the heritage air show event in the aviation calendar. Each of the historic aircraft on display is a living tribute to the outstanding skills of the people who built, maintained and flew them, and to the dedication of those who have brought these stunning aircraft back to life. Now, at this year's air show, this is at Duxford, the Bremont Horseman flight team will present the worldwide debut of their thrilling new display in a trio of Supermarine Spitfires, including two rare Mark 1 variants as well. And they've got a fantastic selection of stalls there as well. So do go along. It's the Duxford Air Show. It's on today and tomorrow. And if you go over to their website, which is found at www.iwm.org.uk, you can check out the ticket prices, because they sort of vary between £35 and £27, depending on your age. So do go over to www.iwm.org.uk to find out more about the Flying Legends Air Show this weekend at the Duxford Air Museum. I've been there myself. My dad actually used to live opposite Duxford Air Museum, and I always had the fantastic view of aeroplanes going over the top and seeing some classic Spitfires and aeroplanes like that. Really does take you back to the heritage of fantastic British aviation engineering. Anyway, I can now say that we can cross finally over to Rob Chipperfield for the final time. He's at the Amy Sesper Open Day just off the A10 at Waterbeach, and I can say good afternoon to Rob again.
Well, thanks again, Matt, and welcome back here to the Amy Sesper Open Day just off the A10 near to Waterbeach. Right, so I'm joined now by Chris. And Chris, you're from Cambridgeshire County Council, I think. Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good, yes. Good day.
It is, isn't it? Are you enjoying the hot weather or a little bit warm in here?
I am, actually. I just hope it hasn't put people off coming to the open day.
Well, I guess there's worse places to be than out in a nice field on a sunny day. So, Chris, you're with Recycle for Cambridgeshire and the council. Yeah, obviously you're very involved in the recycling scheme. How are things looking in Cambridge at the moment?
Pretty good. We are doing quite well as a county, but obviously we can always do better. There's always room for improvement, as they say. So,
okay, well, and what sort of areas are you actually looking to improve? And obviously you can recycle a lot at the moment. Well, what's the current schemes?
Really, I suppose, what we would like to do is educate people better and make them aware of what they can do with recycling and the benefits that we can reap from it as a county. Obviously, there is a big cost factor involved, but it can make us money. More than that, what's really beneficial is getting people to see the immediate benefits, so where their recycling goes and how we use it. So, for example, things like plastic bottles that go into making aggregate for roads.
I seem to remember the guided busway, I think, is actually partly made of chopped-up tyres or something, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. So things like tyres, car tyres and things like that, you can't really put into a wheelie bin outside your front house. You can have them collected, but you can't take them to many recycling household waste centres. So for that purpose, yeah, we can use them for things like that and putting them into roads.
Okay, you're surrounded today with various bits and pieces. There's some green bins here. Tell me a bit about those.
Yeah, the small green bins are kitchen caddies, which are quite useful for food waste in your kitchen. So things like apple cores, your banana skins, all those little bits of food that you would generally put in your black bin if you're in the city. They can be put in this kitchen caddy and then taken into your compost if you compost at home, or otherwise taken to compost somewhere else.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned cost earlier on. I guess, you know, more and more landfill is getting more expensive. So actually, if people recycle more, I guess it can even reduce their, you know, council tax and so on.
That's right. We try to encourage reduce, reuse and recycle. Those are the three prongs of recycling, I suppose. Really, yes, it does cost to go into landfill, but the more we reuse things and recycle things, the better for everybody. We also can make money from those things that you recycle. So, for example, things like your glass jars, your tubs, pots, things like margarine tubs, for example, and bottles, all those things, all you need to do is rinse them out, stick them in the blue bin if you're part of city, and for other districts that would vary, obviously. And we make a good sort of benefit from that cost-wise, yeah.
Chris, thanks so much for chatting this afternoon. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
No problem. Thanks very much.
And back to you, Matt.
Thank you very much. That was Rob Chipperfield reporting from the Amy Sesper Open Day just off the A10 at Waterbeach. And it's in the final 5 minutes of their Open Day because they finish at 4 o'clock. And I'm pleased to say that joining me on the line from the Ely Folk Festival at the moment is none other than our very own Pete Robbins. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you doing?
Absolutely fine. What's it like down there in Ely at the moment? Sun still blaring out?
Oh, it's a fabulous day so far. I think it's about 32 degrees here at the festival site. Some amazing music, some lovely Morris dancing, loads of great fun being had by people of all ages.
And have you had a nice bite to eat or a nice ice cream while you've been there this afternoon?
I may have had an ice cream or two, yes, since I've been here. Yeah, it's been absolutely fabulous. No, it's been great. Yes, yes. I haven't had anything to eat yet, though.
A good turnout? Lots of people turned out?
Yeah, well, I believe it's almost sold out this year again, which is great news for them. It's a full marquee one right now. Kareem Polwarth is currently on stage. It's her second set. She played on Friday evening last night at 10 o'clock, and she's doing another show right now. Of course, Steve Lockwood, who's another Cambridge regular as well. Brooke Williams played last night, along with Fred House as well. And with me right now, just giving up a moment of his time, is Adrian Nation, who also played last night. And I was lucky enough to catch his set at Marquee One this afternoon. Hello, Adrian.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How was the show anyway? Was it good?
It was really good, yeah. Packed house, lovely people, lovely sunshine, great sound system. Really, really good sound system. Because, you know, they do vary.
Yeah, I can imagine they do.
Real cracker, yeah, it's spot on.
Excellent. And your favourite thing about Ely Folk Festival, it's not the first time you've played it, is it? You were here 4 or 5 years ago?
I was in 2009, and I believe I was here in 2005 as well.
So really?
This will be the third time, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, every 4 years, it looks like.
Does it get better each time you come?
Yeah, it does. Plus, I mean, one of the joys of the whole thing is the people you get to meet, and obviously when you come back, you see old friends again, you make new ones, and that's one of the biggest joys of the whole deal, really.
Excellent, Adrian. Well, are you sticking around for the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, I'll be here all day tomorrow as well. I'm off duty, but I'll be around.
Lovely floral tent I've seen lying about.
The word is spreading about my tent, isn't it? It's very small, very flowery.
That's okay. It means you can find it easily after maybe a visit to the beer tent or two.
Yeah. I'll find my way back there at some point.
Is there anyone else you're looking forward to seeing over the weekend?
I'm looking forward to meeting up with Flossie again, Flossie Malamiel. I haven't seen her for a while. She was here in 2009. It was somebody else, I can't think who it was. Oh, of course, Boo.
Yes, Boo Hewley.
He's standing anywhere nearby.
No, of course. He's very kindly come over from seeing his friends to have a chat with us. Boo, come in. Boo, lovely to see you, sir. How are you doing? State of the Union. Boo Hewley, of course.
Hello. I think I'm doing all right.
You think you're doing all right? Too early to tell, isn't it?
Yeah. That's fine. A lovely day.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Have you just come down today, or were you here last
night? I live in Ely, so I'm actually the patron of this festival. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm probably quite important.
Hang on, what does your pass say? Does it say patron on it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
No,
it says artiste.
Oh, no, I'm a bit upset about that.
That's it. We want the gold one. The
patron. A Sharpie, maybe we can adapt it.
Yeah, I think we might have to do that later on this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, of course, State of the Union playing tomorrow night.
Yes.
Things are going really good for them at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's been fantastic.
We've got a new album coming out on Monday.
Okay.
And after about midday through Tuesday, I think we'll be famous.
Actually, you've been on the road with them a little bit over the course of the summer as well.
A little bit, yeah. We did a Scottish tour. Actually, not the last couple of weeks, because Brooks selfishly went to America to do his own tour.
Wow. Terrible.
Which is, he's got his own life and everything. He didn't tell me that when we started. So.
Excellent. Of course, one of the things that is gathering momentum every year, it seems to, since more and more people seem to hear about it, is your famed Christmas gig that happens.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, book now. Yes, this is maybe my fourth year. It's the Maltings in Ely. And this year we've got The Bible, my old band playing. I'm playing. Glenn Fellows, who's sometimes John Shuttleworth, is coming, and Catherine Williams. So it should be good. And you get a free hat and a mince pie, and someone comes around and forces you to smile. So it'll be good.
If it's anything like last year, yes, I do remember that happening. He's not joking at all, Matt. But coming back to Ely Folk Festival, it's such a great thing to have in the community like this. It's such an... I don't want to use the word small, because I don't believe it is. It's big in spirit. I love the intimacy. Has it been great to see it grow over the last 25 years it's been happening?
Yeah, I mean, I've only been coming for the last eight or so years, actually, but it's fantastic. It's all about, music a lot more than others. There was a festival I used to really love in Cumbria called Brampton, and it reminds me of that. And there are very few and far between festivals like this, where, and it's great because I get this Kareem singing right now, the people that I really like here and stuff. It's great.
Yeah. Boo, thank you so much for your time today, anyway. And to you, Adrian, enjoy the rest of the weekend, guys. If you can hear, Matt, I don't think we're too far from the American airbase, and there seems to be a rather large jet coming over the top right now.
I think I could hear that, Pete, actually, funny enough.
And the
folk festival's across the weekend, isn't it? It's not just today.
No, it's not. It started on Friday night. Music officially started at 7 p.m. last night. And as I said before, opening the festival was The Rambling, who were, I believe, a folk competition winner. They've been involved in some sort of folk competition that happened locally. So they opened Marquee One last night. That was closely followed by Adrian Nation. Fred's House were on the open Marquee Two last night, followed by Karen Johnson and Tony Clark. And then Just William and the Outlaws have also been on the New Music Generator, I believe, Tim's program, and also on my show, Night of the Artisans, a few months back as well. And then something that I think a lot of people here were looking forward to, I unfortunately managed to miss it. I felt very bad about it, but Jared and the Watchmen, who are just a fabulous local outfit. They really, really are. So there is the international artists as well. I mean, you had Ahab playing, you've got Kareem Power, who's on stage now, and of course Seth Lateman finishing up on Sunday night. So these international stars of folk are here, but they've got a real sense of the local music community going on, the local folk community going on as well. And you can really get that whole sense of that sort of atmosphere from people around the site, people bringing their families and really just getting involved with it. It's just been absolutely brilliant. And you couldn't ask for a better weekend either, Matt. So it's across to the rest of today and tomorrow as well. I don't know if there's any tickets, day tickets left. There might be, but if you fancy coming on down either for tonight, you've got the Jaywalkers and Home Service, who I'm very much looking forward to seeing. And closing things up on Marquee 1 tonight is the Treacherous Orchestra. On Marquee 2, you've got Keith Donnelly, Elbow Jane, a Blackjack Blues Band, and Ezio, of course, Cambridge 105 fame. Ezio is playing in Marquee 2 tonight at 9:35. He's also playing at the Marquee 1, the main stage, tomorrow afternoon at 2:45 as well. And tomorrow night, there's Lucy Ward, Dark Horses, State of the Union with Boo Hewardine, of course, James Morgan, and, of course, the wonderful, fabulous Seth Lehman finishing things up on Marquee 1 to close the festival out tomorrow night. So it's going to be a great weekend all round.
A great selection of acts. And you briefly touched on Steve Lockwood. Now, he was a guest on my show a couple of weeks ago. He's a very famous harmonica player in Jump, Bump and Boogie, and he was certainly looking forward to the to his performance. Do you know how his performance went?
I believe it was, I believe it was full in Marquee 1 for that performance, of course, with Brooke Williams as well, who's also been doing some stuff with State of the Union and Boo Hewardine. And it went very, very well. Yeah, it was a lovely performance, a really good show.
Wonderful stuff. So that's Pete Robbins reporting live from the Ely Folk Festival. Go and soak up the rest of the atmosphere, Pete. I won't keep you any longer.
I will do. I need to go and put my folk hat back on and get grooving with all the Kayleys that are happening later on today, I think.
Okay, wonderful stuff. Thank you very much. That was Pete Robbins reporting live from the Ely Folk Festival for us. And thank you very much for the guests that Pete managed to get as well in that little piece. I can now say that we can obviously join Neil Whiteside, and he caught up with Fiona Whelan earlier. She's the Vice-Chancellor of the Parish Council at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day, and he caught us up with her a little bit earlier on.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. We're here at Highfields Caldecott on a glorious Saturday afternoon, and I'm here with Fiona Whelan, who's the Vice-Chairman of the local Parish Council. Fiona, good afternoon.
Hello.
You were in earlier in the week, and you've been in on Cambridge 105 before to talk about the Safe House scheme that you've launched here in Caldecott. Tell us about it again.
That's right, we're kicking it off today. The idea is that when children, probably the 8, 9, 10, 11 year olds, come down and play, if they get into trouble, they don't have any parents with them. So it's just there are two houses, two parents who are CRB checked and good with first aid. And if the kids have got a problem, then they'll go to the house with a safe house sign and somebody will sort them out.
Because we are in a purpose-built playing field here, aren't we? It's actually part of the development. So there's loads of houses around, but it's hard to choose which one to go to.
That's right. The great yellow smiley faces, and it's got Safe House written on it, so you just cannot miss which of the two houses to go to. And the idea is that the kids will go to the house, they'll stay on the front doorstep. We're not encouraging people to take the children into their house, so they'll be nice and safe. But it's just somewhere they know that they can go. There's a friendly adult, everybody knows, Pollyanne and Michaela, and they'll just be looked after until help can arrive, or just... if they just need a plaster or something, that'll be sorted.
How did you come up with the idea?
Pollyanne and Michaela, very much their idea. There were some couple of incidences where children have fallen off slides or something and just a bit of a bump, but they needed somebody to go to till mum and dad could turn up, and they've sort of come out and sorted the kids out, and then it just kind of grew from there, really. It's a small village, we're very, very friendly, everybody knows everybody else, and it just seemed like a really good idea to try and make it a bit more formal, that the kids would know where to go if they had a problem.
And the looking for a smiley face logo, is this the sort of plan that you could perhaps roll this out a bit more regionally and a bit more nationally?
Well, we think it's a great idea. We'd like to promote it to other parish councils or other villages. If you want to come along and find out what we've done here, we'd love to share it with you, because in small communities, it's going back to doing what villages used to do, which is that it's a nice, safe place, people know everybody, and it's just a nice, friendly thing to be able to do to help kids, particularly over the summer, because they're going to be playing outside a lot more in the park.
Yeah, so this is an idea mainly for the holidays, or is this like a 24/7 thing and you've got teams of people?
It's a good idea kicking it off just as the summer holidays are starting, but we think it will probably be rolling on more. If somebody's not available, then they can take the sign down. They're all on hooks, so the kids will know if somebody's in and they can go to them or not. But we would like to see it really as something that's all year round, because we'd like to see the kids use the parks as much as they possibly can.
Okay, if people want to find out some more, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can either email Caldecott Parish Council, and we'll definitely give you some information on that, or hopefully you'll put some information up on your website.
Nicely done, Fiona. Okay, we've also got the police here this afternoon. It's not a general thing in Highfields Caldecott. In fact, I think they had to get the map out to find out where we are, because it is a very, very safe, very peaceful village. We've lived here for 12 years now. What's their role in all this?
Well, what they're doing today is they're promoting safety. So again, it's nothing to do with the safe house, but it's just the whole theme of safety for children over the summer. And kids are being encouraged to come down with their valuables, their bikes, in my son's case, a unicycle, and to have them smart marked so that if anything goes missing, then you can get it back.
Lovely. Fiona, thanks very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon.
Thanks.
So that was Neil Whiteside speaking to Fiona Whelan. She is the Vice Chair of the Parish Council, and she was at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day this afternoon. And he spoke to her a little bit earlier on. Community Radio in your city, Cambridge 105. This is Summer Saturday with myself, Matt Webb. I'm keeping you company through until 5 o'clock this evening. Summer Saturday is the programme that puts the spotlight on some of the Summer in the City events that make up the Summer in the City calendar. And I can now say that joining us on the line from the Milton Summer Fair this afternoon is Dominic Smith. Good afternoon, Dom.
Well, yes, thank you, Matt. You join us on this rather muggy but somewhat pleasant afternoon here at the Milton Summer Fair. This is a really well-attended event, in fact. We've got several hundred people here. So what's going on? Well, the music you can hear in the background comes from Lane Academy. There's lots and lots of acts on the stage here all through the afternoon. We've got music coming up from Kiddies Races, from the Blue Hush Jazz Duo, and also the Undercovers. And they'll be taking us right through till 10 p.m. this evening. It's not just music here. We've got stalls from all sorts of community groups. The College of West Anglia, the Milton Signets Preschool have a small treasure hunt for the youngsters, and Waterbeak Scouts are here as well, to name just a few of them. If you want to spend a few pennies and get those wallets out this afternoon, you can come down here. The Key Fen Aperies have got various bee-made products, products made from bees. You can buy soaps and all sorts of things, hand creams with bee products in them. Fruit and veg from local farms as well. There's various strawberries and raspberries and all sorts of nice things looking on the stand over here. And then we've also got a bookstall as well. Lots and lots of other things. And if you're interested in being a little more active this afternoon, perhaps you haven't started sweating enough, well, you can go and go inside one of the zorbing balls. There's an inflatable slides, bouncy castle, all the usual things, and of course various fairground rides as well. And maybe you just want to sit down and have something to eat and drink in the sun. Well, in that case, you can come down. Milton Brewery and Cromwell's Cider are both here. There's a fish and chip van just next to me. You might be able to hear their generator in the background. I'm not sure I'd really fancy fish and chips in this sort of weather, but they seem to have a reasonable queue outside. Jacket potatoes are also available as well, but personally, I think I'll be sticking to the ice cream van as well, much more appropriate for this sort of weather. So that's the Milton Summer Fair. We're down here on Coles Road Recreation Ground, which is on Coles Road. That's just off Milton High Street. And this, say, going on right through until 10 p.m. this evening. So, with that, back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Dom. That was Dominic Smith out and about at the Milton Summer Fair, and we'll be crossing back over to Dom in the next 20 minutes or so. Also coming up in the next 10 minutes, we'll be hearing the second report from Neil Whiteside. He's been out and about at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day this afternoon. If you are a fan of the cricket, I'll give you an update on the score. Australia are currently 124 for 2, and they're chasing a target of 322, so it's looking good for the England guys at the moment down there at Trent Bridge. Now, earlier on today, Neil Whiteside was out and about at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day. Now, they took along with them, the Cambridgeshire Police, their mobile incident room. They were also promoting ways to protect your valuables, such as bikes, mobile phones, etc., by registering them on a website. And Neil caught up with PCSO Dave Jackson while he was there.
OK, so now I'm here with PCSO Dave Jackson from Cambridgeshire Constabulary. Good afternoon, Dave.
Yes, good afternoon to you.
Now, are you the expert then when it comes to protecting bikes and stuff like that?
I wouldn't claim to be an expert. I have a good knowledge about how to make bikes safer. And mainly we recommend people use a website that's called Immobilise. And I can use this particular bike to give you a very quick demonstration. Very regularly or very easily, people can just use the frame numbers on the bicycles. So mainly you'll find a frame number underneath. So I've just got to turn this one over. And usually the frame, oh, there it is, frame number's there. So once you've made a note of the frame number, you can use the website and record the frame details of the frame number onto the website, and if possible take a photograph of your bike, and because it's all computerised you can download the photograph together with the frame number, and we've got a far better chance of knowing which bike goes with that frame number.
Because in the past it was all invisible ink and this sort of thing, and you'd postcode stuff. Is that still something that you do? Because I have a slight problem with that, in that we're looking to move house and our postcode will change.
Well, that's the main reason we're now recommending people record the frame numbers on the website, because websites stay the same and you're always able to access the website regardless of where you move to. Well, as you say, postcodes will change because you're going to move. Perhaps the best thing to do with an invisible ink pen is just to write your name on it. Simple as that. Keep it simple. Might make it more complicated.
Is there a procedure when you recover bikes, or do bikes tend not to be recovered nowadays?
Oh yes, we still get a lot of bikes recovered in Cambridge City, certainly. Not so many out here in South Cambridge, but certainly in Cambridge City, where we used to work, we used to get loads and loads of bicycles brought into us at Parkside. And again, the simple process is then to try and match a frame number, see if it's registered on Immobilise, and if not, just wait and see if anybody turns up to claim it.
Any idea on security? Things like chains and the D brackets. Is there a favourite?
Certainly, I would recommend a D lock as opposed to a combination lock. It's far stronger, far more resilient to attack by people, by those who want to take the bikes. Certainly a D lock better than a combination lock.
One thing which always strikes me in Cambridge is the number of people who don't seem to ride around with lights on their bike. Is that because theft of peripherals is an issue?
Yeah, cycle lights are very easy to take off a bike once it's parked up, because a lot of them just clip on and clip off these days. Simple message to the owners is just clip them off, but we're all busy people, we forget to do it. One other thing, it would be preferable if people could wear helmets whilst they're cycling, but...
That's never going to happen either, is it?
it would be better. I mean, there's lots of medical research that backs up the support of helmets with cycling safely, but it's people's choice, as you say.
Lovely. Dave, thanks very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon. I'll let you do this one then, shall I? We'll go through and we'll register this one. We'll register the unicycle that's here as well.
Okay.
That's PCSO Dave Jackson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful stuff. As Neil just said, that was PCO Dave Jackson speaking to Neil a little bit earlier on at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day. We'll have one final interview and report from Neil Whiteside, who was there a little bit earlier on, in about 15 minutes' time. And also coming up in the next 10 minutes, we'll be crossing back over to Dominic Smith. He's out and about at the Milton Summer Fair this afternoon. But in the meantime, let's cross back over, as I say, to Dominic Smith. He's out and about at the Milton Summer Fair this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Well, thanks, Matt. I'm here with Linda and Vivian from the committee that run the Milton Summer Fair. And it's brilliant attendance here. What's is this sort of normal numbers you'd expect?
Yes, we have a bells and that sort of amount.
Right, OK, there's a lot of people. And I think you had a few fewer people last year, probably.
We did. It was really a shame. The weather was so awful and we weren't allowed to use the field. So we made sure that we made good use of the car park and the halls, you know, to have it in.
Right. So you've actually got lots of activities today, both in the field and in the halls, haven't you? I actually haven't been into the halls yet. So what sort of things are going on in there?
We've got tumble tots, reptiles, meerkats, the WI doing teas and coffees in the annex.
You've got reptiles?
Yes, we have got reptiles, meerkats, spiders, all
Linda
sorts of things.
Lizards.
I don't go up there because I'm afraid of them.
Oh dear. So it's a fair sort of always like this. So you've got a good range of, you've got music on the stage, you've got all sorts of stalls from local community groups. Is that how it normally runs every year?
Yes, we took it over about 9 years ago. It's our ninth year, and made the decision to have music. And tonight it's going on till 10 o'clock. And our last band are the Undercovers. We've got a jazz band, Blue Hush, playing until about 7:30. And then the Undercovers are taking over until 10.
Brilliant. OK, so an awful lot going on right through till 10 o'clock. And have you had a chance to have a look around yourselves yet? I'm sure you've been behind the stall here.
We've been behind the stall all the time. We haven't had a chance to look around at all yet.
Right. I mean, something this scale must take a long time to organise, I'm imagining. What time does it take to organise this? What do you have to do to organise something on this scale?
It takes a year to organise it for the following year. We get a lot of stall holders who really enjoy the event and they pre-book again for the following year, but we try and change the music, and it takes, you know, it's the whole thing, it takes a lot of planning, and then we have to plan out the field where everybody's going to go, so that when the stalls arrive we can say we're all number six, and you know, so, but it's a year. Yeah,
lovely. And you definitely want dry weather for doing all that, so taking everyone around. Okay, so final question. What happens? I mean, you don't charge entrance fee, do you? So how do you fund the fair each year?
We sell raffled books, we sell programmes, and basically we get money back from various things like Ice Cream Man and things like that. We get a bit of money come back in, so we just play it back into the fair each year and make it bigger and better.
Right, so it's completely not for profit and...
No, it's definitely not for profit. Charity run by the charities.
Yeah. Lovely. OK, well, thanks very much for your time, and great to be here, and best of luck for the rest of the fair this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So that was Dominic Smith reporting live from the Milton Summer Fair for us this afternoon. It sounds absolutely glorious down there. Going on till 10 o'clock this evening, so plenty of time to get on down there, soak up the atmosphere and have a nice beverage or two. This is Summer Saturday with myself, Matt Webb. This is the Saturday afternoon programme that puts in the spotlight some of the events that make up the Summer in the City calendar. Coming up a little bit later on here on the station, between 5 and 6 o'clock, Jason Allen is here with your Saturday evening show. Between 6 and 7, it's Under the Music Tree. It's a brand new programme, and if you go over to our website, Cambridge105.fm, click on the schedule tab, you can find out all the details about our brand new show between 6 and 7 tonight. Between 7 and 9 o'clock, it's Shapes, that's our dance music programme, and then rounding off the evening in style between 9 and 11 o'clock, it's the Kaleidoscopic Rebellion, some of the best electronic music. Then non-stop Cambridge 105 from 11 o'clock through until 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, when Phil Rowe will wake you up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with Sunday breakfast. Now, for the final time, we got the final report from Neil Whiteside. He was out and about at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day, and finally he caught up with PCSO Karen Mahoney, who spoke a little bit about child safety in general.
And also here this afternoon is PCSO Karen Mahoney. Karen, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Now, you're here today to talk about general child safety throughout the summer holidays, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, what sort of particularly concerns you at the moment?
There isn't anything really concerning us. We're just here today just to give children and parents advice on child safety, parents to look out for over the summer holidays, really.
Okay, I mean, are we talking children who wander off and go over playing fields and things on their own?
Yeah, and if they're just out sort of around the village, really, on their bikes, sort of cycle safety and sort of things like that.
Okay, so where can people find out information about this and what are you doing?
Today we've got leaflets that we're handing out to parents and children, tackle safety, and it's all about being on foot, or if you're travelling by train or bus, also about using your mobiles to text your mum to let her know that you're safe, and also sort of keeping your stuff safe, so you can keep your phone separate from the rest of your stuff, so if some of your bags were to go missing, then your phone would still be in your pocket, so you don't lose everything and you've got your phone, so you can phone up and call for help.
Okay. Well, it is a fairly safe area around here, and we are quite lucky, aren't we?
It is, yeah, it's very safe around here. Caldecott's a lovely village to live in.
Lovely. Karen, thanks ever so much indeed. Have a good afternoon here. The ice cream van's just arrived as well, by the way.
Lovely. All right.
That's PCSO Karen Mahoney. Thank you.
Bye.
So thank you very much, Neil Whiteside, for the three reports from the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day. Well, that pretty much wraps up another edition of Summer Saturday. We'll be back again, doing it all over again, next Saturday from 3 until 5. My thanks go to Rob Chipperfield, who was out and about at the Amy Sesper Open Day on the A10 at Waterbeach. Neil Whiteside, he was out and about at the Caldecott Police Contact and Education Day. Robbie Griffiths, he was at the Hemmingford Road Street Party. Pete Robbins, who was out and about at the Ely Folk Festival this afternoon, and Dominic Smith, finally, who was at the Milton Summer Fair. A very action-packed show, and as I say, you'll be able to listen to this again as part of our podcasts over on our website, cambridge105.fm, over the coming days.